You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice Walsh, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to moccasin and joke. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Baby! Give it up, Tony
That's me. Turn me loose. That's our hour, brother, and we are ready to rock and roll. Hell yeah.
Exactly about 15 minutes.
I'm feeling good. How are you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling good there, Tommy. Sound like you've had a sip of wine.
Ooh. Isn't that beautiful? I got to tell you guys, before you go to bed at night, have a little toddy for the body. And before you know it, you'll be knocked out, as Chris Tucker said in all of his pictures. Remember, I don't know if you guys ever remember Friday, when that big guy, he got knocked the blank out. And I'll tell you what, it'll cruise you through the night. It'll make you feel mellow, yellow, jello. Oh, baby. And that's the reason why you make yourself feel good. You know, Billy, You think I should tell our people around the globe some good news, or what do you want
to... Yeah. I think we ought to spread the cheer
around. Shit or stay up there with some new stuff. What do you think?
I think just give them the good news.
Good news. I like good news. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. Yours truly, Mr. TCB, and you just take those initials in mind, it means taking care of business 24/7. Oh, yeah. That's right. And I'm going to tell you straight up, hopefully, I'm going to make an announcement a week from today. Mark your calendars. The 17th of this month, I may have one of the biggest announcements you've ever heard in the Bigfoot field. Just mark your calendars. Make sure you tune in next week, because if things go right and all the moons align, we may be having something that will blow your mind. Now, I got some emails, I got some phone calls, and they're all telling about this damn movie that's going to be aired calling The Shooting of Bigfoot. Did I have anything to do with it? Hell no. Did I have a part in this film? Falsely purported, we get a call about almost 3 years ago, come July, and say, hey, Mr. Biscardi, we'd love to follow you and your team through your encounters across the country. I said, well, that's real nice of you. These are the people from England. Not knowing that he already filmed a couple of other people that are also in this movie of his. And, of course, they didn't use that title, Shooting a Bigfoot, until later on due to the fact that he got caught up with these other people. Well, these other people have been in some of my movies. You may have heard of Rick Dyer, the hoaxer, the guy that took us for a lot of money, and then the other two guys, Wayne and Dallas, there in Ohio. Well, I can't say nothing wrong about those guys. That, you know, they're nice boys, and they got some large imaginations. That's the only thing I can tell you. But that's okay. So they did this movie of three different researchers, and they made this one movie. Now, apparently, they're using my name and my guys, hoping to sell a lot of movies, trying to get some recognition. I don't like that falsity that's going on out there. Okay? I don't want to be connected to this Rick Dyer. As you people know, I've got nothing to do with that clown or his ex-partner. That's the reason why they're apparently not together. Or the other jerk that put us together with them, which he does. His name doesn't even need to be giving him any acknowledgement. But I want everybody to know that I had nothing to do with this movie. It was purported on false premises. And when I found out, I was pissed. So we're going to see where this all goes. But I want to let you know, it's not my film. It's not my production. I have not seen it. And he wouldn't give me a copy of this. He's holding out for some reason. Okay? He's the owner of that company. He's the producer and director of that company. And for some reason, he's waiting for this festival to hit. So we'll see where that all goes towards the end of the month, too. I'm not going to give that any more recognition, just like any of the other credible Bigfoot organizations aren't doing it either. So I just want to set the record clear. Me and any of my boys have nothing to do with that organization or the people that are portrayed in that movie. Now, going on to a better topic, we got some groovy people to listen to tonight. And I want to thank all you people from last week and all the well-wishers for that lovely gal that was on the show. Boy, she felt wonderful and all the support that you all gave her. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Montana. We're going to talk to Scott, where he just had the recent experiences with rocks thrown, noises, tree breaks, etc. You out there, Scott?
Hello?
Hey,
yes,
Scott, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. What part of Montana are you from, son?
49th parallel, brother.
49th parallel. I like it's put that way. Now, I know along the 49th parallel, there's a town close by. I know you probably don't
want to. I ain't
going to
give no names. Yeah, no, I ain't going to, but I'm in the Northwest pocket.
The Northwest pocket. What do you do, Scott?
I'm a professional timber faller.
Hey, okay, brother. One of my top trackers, who was the grandson of the guy who taught me everything I know. That's
right.
What he did for a living. And he may be still doing it now. I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a while. How's business been up there?
Slow.
Slow,
the
huh?
The abomination, you know. It's just kind of that way.
It's not just up there, brother. It's all over this country.
Hey,
believe me.
Somewhere in Kenya, there's a village missing its idiot.
Ooh. Okay. Hey, Bill, next time you tell me it's me, you better listen to some of your guests. By the way, Scott, I want to ask you, I think I remembered when you called in because you couldn't call back due to the fact that your boss came up or something. Is that correct?
No, that was that's a different guy, Tom.
Oh, it's a different one, Bill?
Yeah, that's a different guy.
I sent y'all an email of a Toyota Tacoma of what happened about what I'm going to explain.
Oh, yes, that's
and
where
we had some link-up problems. We had some link-up problems, and then last week, there were other problems with your show, and I couldn't get in, and I didn't understand the format. But.
Okay, guess what? You got the floor now, Scott. It's yours. Tell my listening audience around the globe everything that happened from the beginning to where we are tonight. You got the
floor. All right, here goes. My whole life, weird things have happened. I couldn't put them together. Couldn't pencil them in. I'm a trapper. Hunter and a fisherman. If I told you how much stuff I killed, there's people listening that would call me a liar. And man, I'm telling you, this was a weird deal. We was ling fishing, and you fish for a burbot at night, which we call ling. And we're out there on the shore fishing, and we decided to leave. And it was raining that night. And on my way down to this fishing hole was, because of the economy, I mean, $40 worth of gas is a big deal. And I had $40 worth of gas and enough money for some bait and some beer. And the only beer I had was a six-pack of 16-ounce tall boys. I mean, so I wasn't getting drunk by any means. I was just wanting to enjoy the evening. And y'all follow me on that?
You betcha, brother.
All right. So I'm not some ass clown that's out there getting drunk and had a vision. And we fish, and it's about 2:15, 2:30, and we decide to reel in lines. And one of my buddies had popped off around from a 45 long colt, and just goofing around. And I said, "Hey, we're all, you know, there's alcohol involved, and y'all are drunk, and we just need to chill it out and get out of here." And I said, they got cameras on the roads. All the Forest Service up where I live, they got cameras on the roads down to where we go fishing. And I said, let's not do nothing stupid. And, you know, it's I don't need to even go into what's owned by the Army Corps of Engineers. And I'll just say China. But anyway, we're down there fishing on this break of water. And the only thing we caught that night was a six-pound rainbow, which was legal, and because we weren't with live bait or nothing. So we leave, and I drove my vehicle, and I'm with another fella. And the reason I'm with him is because he's shit-hammered, and we got to go about 17 miles down here to this highway. And I'm going to try to talk him into letting me drive between there and the highway. So I had this kid drive my truck to the top of the road, and he was sober enough to get it to this parking area. And I showed up late, you know, and I'm no do-gooder. I just, the only reason I was sober is I was late and I was broke. I didn't have enough money to get ripped. It's spring breakup here. And spring breakup's when a logger, he goes on breakup, he's on unemployment. And so things are tight, and it's really important for me just to be out in the outdoors. And I'm a feller that puts on 10, 12 days during bow season. I mean, solid hunting, no work. And maybe 7 or 8 during, I'm more of a bow hunter than a rifle hunter. And rifle hunting just hadn't become a, it had not become a priority in my life because killing shit with a gun, you know, is pretty easy. So I'm just trying to explain who I am. But anyway, we get out there and we leave. We're driving down the road. And it's kind of quiet because he's butthurt because I don't want him to drive. And he's about ready to give his pride up. And we're doing about 30, 35 down this road. It's kind of really windy. And all of a sudden, something hit the hood. And it bounded off. And he goes, and he hit me in the arm so hard that now I got seasoned muscles and skin that you wouldn't believe. I mean, I'm not your average citizen. I mean, I work in the woods like a lot of people do. And hopefully some loggers are listening. And our oil field crew, I mean, we're a rough bunch. And, I mean, skinned up, scarred up, that's just a day of life. This guy hit me so hard in the arm, and he said, "What the F was that?" And I said it was gray and brown and really fast. About 200 feet later, now this bottomed out a 2012 Toyota Tacoma with a air suspension lift kit. I mean, this thing was air-rid to hell. And it bottomed the front end of that truck out. And it did a rebound off the hood. Did you all get that email of that picture?
Bill?
Yes, I did.
Okay. In that picture, neither fender nor the bumper was disturbed. If you hit a deer or an elk and you flip them, you're gonna asshole the whole front end of your truck, especially in one of these newfangled rigs they got. And this thing landed square on the hood, and he goes, "What'd you see?" And I said, "I saw a hairy track starter. It looked like somebody was taken off from a starting block, you know, for track. It used us for a damn springboard." We recoiled out of that, and he stood all over the road, and he'd been drinking, but this guy is a phenomenal driver in the woods. And, I mean, you can't just take your village idiot and give him a driver's license and have him drive where we drive. This guy is good, but he ain't good enough to drive down the highway. I don't care who you are. After you've been drinking, you should not be drinking and driving. That's the whole reason I was in the truck. He went into the ditch, come out, knocked his taillight out in his bumper. So he was at a side swipe on the passenger side, and nothing happened to that hood. I was in total control. And in that 200 feet before we went in the ditch, with the recoil, the dog, I watched him sniff, and he's half hound and half pointer. And we use him for horn hunting. And he went and tried to crawl into my lap, because this is one of them four-door Tacoma deals. And he smelled something, and I was like, "What the hell?" And I tried putting him in the back, and he tried biting me to let me know that he wanted in the damn front. And I had to shove him back with every force I had, and then within another 100 feet, we're in the ditch, because time progressed, and we come back out of it, and we stop. He's got his gun out, and the laser light's all over my chest, all over the dog, all over the hood of the truck. He's freaking, and he went white. My buddy went from a shade of normal to white with fear. And this is a level-headed guy that has had been treed by grizzlies and moose and had elk taken from him by packs of wolves when he was bow hunting. Or at least they tried. But this is a guy that's been around and in the woods every day. And he was freaked. And I thought, wow, that was weird. That was really weird. And I was scared, too. I've never seen nothing like that in my life. And I'm a guy that'll, you know, throw a couple elk quarters on my back, boned out, and head out in the middle of the dark. You know, you shoot a late-hour bull, and that's what you got to do. And you got to get them out before the meat spoils. Are you following?
Every bit of it.
All right. So, we're outdoorsmen. We're horn hunting. We're elk hunting with a bow. If we need to, we're elk hunting with a rifle. And we got kids that hunt. We're hunting for them. And I chest pack a 308 Thompson Contender. And because I'm hunting for my kids during rifle season, so I don't need much. But during bow season, I'm side packing a 45 long Colt that's loaded to the nuts. And I'm telling you what, a Navy SEAL being on a scale of a 1 to 10 and a Navy SEAL fully trained, you know, a sniper Navy SEAL, not some medic, if that was a 10, I'm an 8.5 to a 9. I mean, I shoot stuff in the neck on a run all the time. Deer, coyotes, antelope, elk, it don't matter. I don't miss very often. When I do, people rip me about it. I'm telling you what, as fast as this thing was moving, I could not have hit it in the daylight at 100 yards in a wide open field. I couldn't have done it. This thing moved with a streak of light. Like, it was unreal. I've never seen anything, unless it was made up in the damn movies, move that fast. And it freaked him out so bad that the next day I mentioned what happened. And I said, do you think it was Bigfoot? And he puked all over the truck that we were looking. He puked on the hood. Like, caught the fender. And if you look in that picture, you'll see, like, where a hand wipe went on the driver's side. Well, that's where he puked. And for 2 or 3 hours, every time I'd mention, and he finally said, shut up. He said, I can't believe this. He goes, I've never, and I said, dude, it happened. It's real. It's live. Let's go back up there. So we started heading up there to where we had to go fetch my little pickup that I left to get him home safe, which he did finally by the time we hit the highway allow me to drive because I was, you know, pretty much sober. So anyhow, he would not go past my vehicle, which was 2 miles at least from the incident. I went back up to where it happened. I looked over the bank, and I'm telling you what, I didn't have nothing. If I had a 243 with a Nikon 3-9 scope that I can shoot stuff a long ways away with, and I turned it down on to 3 power, and I'm looking through the brush, and this is 75-80% ground, and there was divots in the damn ground all the way down there, 30-40 feet, some of them 20. But he was dodging trees, whatever this thing was. And cats and bears. A cat can run downhill real well, but a black bear can't. They'll tumble on themselves when they're going open speed. They'll just flip and roll. And the reason is that they run like a rabbit, and their back legs land in front of their front, so they just end up tumbling.
Because they're back heavy.
Well, they can't hold their head up. And you're right.
Then why? They roll.
They just start tumbling.
I've seen it.
I've chased them with hound dogs. I mean, I own hound dogs. I got traps. I mean, I'm nobody to say that didn't happen. I mean, I know what I know, and I saw what I saw. In my whole life, I always in the back of my brain went, well, I'll believe it when I see it, kind of like an alien. You know, go ahead.
You were there that night. You were the only one that didn't have as much to drink as the rest of these guys.
I had a 6-pack of beer and 1 shot of this whiskey stuff over a 7-hour period. So you tell me how buzzed I was.
Well, I think you were probably okay. Being the man that you say you are, especially of, you know, being the guy out there working in the open, you guys fall a lot of lumber up in that area. I know. And
I run a tree jack on the blue lines and the creeks. I'm the guy they trust.
Yeah, so you,
I don't mess up.
You bet. So you're physically fit. And then I listened to the story about on a scale from 1 to 10 being not a nurse SEAL, but somebody who's a sniper and knows his shit and has got it all together on a 10, you're about a 9, 9.5, correct?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. There was a guy from the military of the mention you just gave me on the background, which I brought up, and that's the fella that trained me.
Okay.
I mean, he went from Vietnam to Grenada to all over South America to...
Scott, I have no doubt, and I believe everything you...
I've given you the floor.
Now listen to me for a change, okay? Please.
You go.
Give me that respect.
Sorry.
Here's the deal. What you experienced is totally fucking incredible. Excuse my language, everybody around the globe. And I've listened very intently to what Scott had to say. Scott, when this thing used your rig as it was
like
running,
a damn springboard.
Okay. Did you get a chance to see any parts of its body?
Okay, what I saw was coming into a recoil position, and I saw blurred multiple colors, which was grays, shades of grays, browns, and it left. And it went into browns and back into grays. It was gone. This thing happened so fast. I mean, if it would have happened any faster, I don't believe the human eye could have caught it.
I understand. It's like a bullet coming out of a gun. Here's what I'm trying to say.
No, I wouldn't call it a bullet. I'd call it like we're trying to track an arrow at about 340 feet a second.
Okay. So did you get a chance to see any of its body parts at all?
The knee, the back foot, and the hip, and up to the front shoulder. And when it pushed its finger on the window, the only crack that happened to the window was a hairline crack, would be from left to right looking, well, on the passenger side being the right, so the driver's side being the left as I saw it. From the driver's side, because I wasn't driving yet, come across this crack, and that's where it put its finger or something, and it was gone. I mean, this thing was, and it was gone. It happened so fast. And when my buddy hit my arm, I had a bruise that took 3 weeks to heal. And he's a big boy.
How fast were you guys coming down that grate?
30, maybe 35 at the tops. But I'm thinking more like 30.
Okay, so 30 mile an hour, and something that could
there
run...
I didn't measure it, but there was a 15 to 20-foot cliff above us. And I think it just used us for a damn springboard. And I think it was a wrong place, wrong time for everything involved, whatever this was. And us, like it recoiled, because his truck's quiet.
Okay. And how big of an indentation did it make in your rig?
It touched the air filter, and he had the stock off-road package from Toyota. You know where they got the cowl thing, that fake cowl thing on the hood?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It cracked the air cleaner underneath the hood. That's how far it compressed. We went down to where one of those like that in town hadn't been compressed. It was 4.5 inches.
So that was indentated, right, because of it landing on it?
I talked to an engineer that knows about, I think these hoods are made of aluminum, maybe, or some really light steel that might as well be aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that with the recoil of what happened because of the flares in the hood that were there when the hood got pressed, you know, from the factory, that it would have taken a 400 to a 600-pound object with an elevation to do what it did because of the speed we were running. I mean, this guy knows the speed we were running, averaged it in, that we guessed at, right? I mean, I said pick 30. We weren't doing 25 and we weren't doing 35, so he picked 30. You know, for simple math. And he had this way of figuring it out because of the flares in the hood, the bends, they all hold weight. Every time you got a riffle in something metallic, it holds a support. So he said this thing had to weigh at least 600 pounds.
It's a pretty big boy, Scott. Pretty big boy. Listen here.
Listen, I'm not cutting you off, and I want to give you respect you do, but I want you to remember that this is a lifted truck. It's got a 4-inch professionally installed lift kit on it.
How big were the tires?
It bottomed that front end out.
Okay, how big were the tires? How many inch were the rims?
Tires on that damn thing, they're 37.
Wow. Wow. So that had to be a pretty heavy boy to do with the damage that it did and to bottom out the way it did, don't you think?
And, well, they're only 10.5 wide.
Uh-huh.
We run narrow tires in my country so we can get around in the snow. I mean, you run too wide a tire and you're going to be fighting ruts and snowmobile trails and all other kinds of stuff.
They snow tires as studs.
No, these are, like, let's just picture, I don't know the name of the tire, but let's just picture, like, a woolly bugger or a swamp bugger, you know? I mean, a meaty tire.
Yeah, I got you, Kevin. I know exactly where you are. Listen, Scott.
Deep lug.
Yeah, you're an interesting guy, and we really went into overtime here, and I want to have you back. Because, and I'm going to talk to you off the radio because, you know, I spend a lot of time up there in Montana. And I'm up there at the Blackfeet Reservation. You know where Browning is?
We know some of the same people. I read through your stuff, and we know some of the same people.
Okay. And that's my home away from home, believe it or not. And I got some family up in there.
Well, I'll tell you what, give me a call, not to use this as a message board, but I'm hard to get a hold of. I just took a new logging position down here in the central Montana where I'm at. I'm 380 miles from my house.
Okay.
If you'd like to call me about, like, Sunday afternoon, we can chat on the number y'all have.
Okay, well, that'll be good. But listen, just mute yourself out right now because we're going to have a round table towards the end of the show, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that's got a lot of questions for you, okay?
Well, I'm not going to be there. My battery's about ready to go dead, and I already warned Marco Bill that I wouldn't be, and I apologize to everybody. But you know what? If they all want to post all this stuff, when I got access to I'm getting me a little laptop here on Monday, I'll do my best to answer stuff.
You're very kind. Thank you for your story. Thank you for spending your time with us this evening, and I hope to talk to you real soon.
Bless you all. Take care.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Scott. What a hell of a story up there in Montana. I'd like to go up in that area and visit him and go back to that same exact area. Wow, that's something else. Let's go to a commercial, Bill.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
That's the anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax, ladies and gentlemen. That's the story. That's the movie that we won Best Documentary at the Pocono Mountains Film Festival. It's the scenes, the story behind the scenes that nobody has ever seen, okay, about those sick people. You need to see it. We're running behind, but that's okay. We're going to go out here to Ohio. We're going to talk to a David. This guy is incredible, apparently. I get this is the first time I'm talking to him. He talks about his visual encounter experience while he was working a drag line in the Everglades in Florida. About 15 creatures. One came after him and how it affected him personally. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Ohio and talk to David. David, you out there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. Well, good evening, and thanks for taking the time and sharing part of your evening with us, David. How long ago did this happen to you?
Well, I'd say it was in the late 80s, early 90s.
Late 80s, early 90s. What kind of drag line were you working?
A 2400. It was, it was as big as a house. I mean, it had 200-foot boom on it.
Wow.
You know, dig up to 75 feet deep.
Whatever grades area were you working?
I'm in Hialeah, Florida, just outside U.S. 27 in the Florida Everglades.
Yep.
And right out off U.S. 27, I used to drive about 45 minutes at about 30 miles an hour to get to my job straight out in the middle of nowhere.
Right,
there's
right.
just one little road.
That was what, over 30 years ago?
About 20.
20, huh? Think that area sure as hell changed since then, hasn't it?
I'll be honest with you. It's ever since I quit my job the next morning after my experience happened, I swore I wouldn't ever go back out in the Glades again like that. And, you know, I haven't been back there, but I've got on a GPS and looked on a satellite and seen the area, and the areas have all been quarantined off as water sanctuary parks.
Oh, wow.
So they're not even inhabited or used for anything but just for wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hundreds of thousands of acres out there that, you know, honestly, that a man can't go without, you know, being exposed to severe dangers with the snakes, the alligators, and the Bigfoots, you know.
Right. All right, well, listen, because we're running behind, you got the floor. Tell everybody what happened that day.
Okay, well, I used to work third shift from 5:45 to 5:45 in the morning. So there to say, when I get off in the morning, it's real, real late at night, okay? And around the whole plant and the construction site, they have like a building pad. It's all built up with rocks so it doesn't flood and stuff like that. You know, you have a place to work. So at the end of the night, you know, all the plant, all the drag lines and stuff shut down, and all the construction lights are shut off. And I'm sitting there at the time trailer where, you know, there was a time clock, just trailer where I waited on my stepdad to come pick me up. And the only source of light on this whole area was right at the end of that time clock where that, you know, on the end of the trailer, and it lit up, you know, the left-hand side of me. Well, I'm sitting there on the deck, I had a 12-gauge sitting in my lap, across my legs, and, you know, because I know there's a bunch of wild creatures out there and stuff, so I'm sitting there, and I look off in this field, about 200 feet away from me, there's an apple tree or a key lime tree, and I sit there, and the wind wasn't blowing or anything, you could hear a gnat fly, you know, I mean, it was so quiet. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I see part of the tree moving. Like a breeze was blowing or something. I don't know, part of the tree, but one big branch was moving. I'm sitting there, so I draw my attention to focus in on it. I'm sitting there looking. I see there's something at the base of the tree. I thought, you know, well, maybe it's a bear. Well, then I know, you know, that there's no bears out there. So I'm sitting there, and I watch. Whatever it was, walked out from underneath the tree probably about 20 feet. Stood there and then turned around and walked back. Well, during this, I realized that this sawgrass field that it was in, the sawgrass, I'm 5'7", and the sawgrass is at the top of my head. And I know this because it just, everywhere the sawgrass is, it's right at the top of my head. It's about a little more 5 feet, you know, tall. So I'm looking, and whatever it was, it walked out from underneath that tree of the sawgrass, almost fully extended at its side. So out right off the bat, you know, I'm old country boy, farm boy, redneck, you know. I know about everything that moves in the woods, but, you know, I don't confess to be no hunter or anything. But anyways, so I devised real quick and put it together that whatever it was extremely, extremely tall. And it was also very big because at 200 feet away, I could make out that it was, you know, a very large creature, and it was dark, like black, like hair, like what would be on a bear, or a black bear, or something like that. So I'm sitting there. Whatever it was, it's going at a real. If you ever had a herd of boar or cows or stuff moo, they have a real girthy moo to them because they're so big. And this thing, it's coming up through the. It's sitting there, and it started coming back up that little path that started cutting. It got about 20, 30 feet away from that tree, and it goes, like, and it had different dialects, but it was real bassy. And it, you could tell that the noise that it made would travel a long distance because of the mass of the voice, you know. Well, lo and behold, unto me, way far to the left, off maybe 1,000 feet away, there was another one answering back to the one that was in the sawgrass field that was right close to my left. So this thing's cutting up this field, and it doesn't know that I'm sitting there in the pitch black looking at it. And, okay, so about 5 minutes has went by. It's went up about 75 feet up this sawgrass field. So me being a dummy, I stand up, and I don't know what it is, okay? But I'm terrified at this point because I don't think it's no man. And whatever it is, it's bipedal walking up this field, and I can see it as clear as a hand in front of my face. And its hand swaying above the sawgrass, and it looks like a 10-foot-tall silverback gorilla is what it looked like. And, okay, so I stand up, and I say, hey, I'm over here. Don't come over here because I'll shoot you. Boom, and I laid a shell off, you know, out of my 12-gauge. So I quickly opened it up, put a new shell in it, sitting there looking to see what's going on. So now this thing, instead of it cutting a straight path up this field to my left, now it veered to its left. Now it's headed straight towards me, but it squatted down in the sawgrass where I can just see the top of its head a little bit. So I said, hey, if you're coming over here, boom, I will shoot you. So now I've been shot 2 shells off over its head, and it's about maybe 75 feet away from me, and it's got a little small canal. It's right off the edge of this construction site where I'm sitting. And it's maybe 10 foot deep with about a foot or two of water or something, you know. And so it's making its way over to here. So I threaten it again, say, hey, if you come over here, I will shoot you, you know. And I shoot a third one off. So, okay, now this thing's, you know, it's over the embankment. I hear it slide down the embankment in this canal. Bipedal walking means 2 feet walking, like a man walking across a pond or a creek. Everybody knows what it sounds like, walking across this creek. So now it's climbing up this embankment, and I see it coming up this side embankment. And it's about maybe 16 feet away from me. So I jump down off this deck and get underneath the steps, military style. You know, because I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, I don't know what I did to make this thing come over here. It's not afraid of me. I'm trembling like, you know, I ain't got no protection in my hand. I got a loaded buffalo gun, basically, in my hands, and I'm terrified because this thing is huge. It comes over, and about this time, it gets up on the embankment like, you know, you're just climbing up a hill, and you're sitting there looking. And I could see its shoulders, and I'd say its shoulders was close to 3 feet wide. And its head had to be a foot and a half, maybe not quite a foot and a half, but more than a foot off of its shoulders. And it's sitting here no more than 15 feet away from me. I could see the light on the end of the trailer shining right down on this thing. Now, I can't make out its facial features because of the glance of the light on it, but I can see the outscurry of the shape of this thing, and it's sitting there looking. Well, my stepdad pulled up. Oh, by the grace of God, he got up, because in the next few seconds, this thing was probably going to keep coming, and I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to shoot it and hurt it and stop it from whatever it was going to do. So I scurry out from underneath that deck, and I start yelling to my stepdad, I'm coming, because he's only like, you know, 15, 16 feet away from me. Well, this thing's watching me scurry out from underneath this deck and get in my stepdad's car, and it's just sitting there looking at me, you know. So I jump in the car, I tell my stepdad, go, 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 go. So he drives on down onto the construction site, and I tell him, hey, there's a Bigfoot after me, or something's after me, or whatever. So I tell him, and he turns around, and we come back where he turns wide, like he had pulled in his parking lot, but he's coming back the opposite way. So he turns back wide, and he turns back again right where his headlights would shine right on it. And there it was. He says, what is that thing? I said, I don't know what that is. I said, it might be a man. He said, that ain't no man. He said, shoot it. because I had the barrel of my 12-gauge sticking out the passenger side window. He says, shoot that thing, shoot the line. I've never shot and killed anything in my life, and I'm not about to start. And maybe that was my destiny, but obviously that wasn't my destiny. My destiny was to be sitting here telling you, but prior to this happening to me, other times on the drag line, I would be working, and it would be 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would look over, and I'd ask my operator, I'd say, what are them things over there sitting there watching us? He says, you know, that's when I first got the inclination that there ain't no bears out there and so on. And I said, well, what are they? And he said, well, won't you walk over there and find out? I said, well, no, but, you know, I could see them sitting there huddling like people would sit, you know, a mother or a dad would sit with a couple younger kids, and there'd be elderly sitting back off by their self or whatever, and there'd be a whole bunch of them, and they'd sit there and just watch this machine dig this rock and dump it, you know, in a great big pile, and I guess it was like entertainment to them or something, you know, real fascinating, which it is even fascinating, even for a human to watch a drag line operate. It's a really interesting thing.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
David, how has it affected you personally?
Well, I know that there's something out there in the woods, a lot of them. I know where I could. I believe with everything that I've ever seen that I know I could go back there to that desolate construction site area and find Bigfoot, without a doubt in my mind. And the thing is, that has changed me, is I won't go out in the woods unless I have proper protection, you know?
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. If I come out there, what part of Ohio are you in?
Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, you're in Dayton, huh?
Yes. Well, it's Trotwood.
Yeah, okay. All right. So if I come out
there. It's right here beside Dayton.
All right. I pick you up, and we go down there to Hialeah. You could take me to that area.
Yes, sir.
How old of a guy are you?
I mean, you know, I'm 50.
Are you still working?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you know, I'm privately, you know, it's like I do contract work on the side. I don't work for a company or nothing like that. You know what I mean? I'm a subcontractor. So, I mean, as far as me, I have to worry about, like, taking off or something like that, I don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
But now the only thing about, I would like to, if we could, maybe get some information on, you know, the name of the construction. I know the name of the construction company I work for, maybe to be more specific, because that was like, you know, 20 years ago on the areas. Now, I know that I could go back to the same area, but it was liable to be, you know, like, I don't know if they would put barriers up now to certain areas to keep you.
Here's the thing. Listen to me, David.
Yes, sir.
Did you ever go back and talk to any of the other co-workers and see if they...
Well, the next morning I went back. And I told my boss, because I worked a night shift, and I hadn't went to sleep. That was very startling to me when that happened to me. And I went back the next day, and I quit. And I told the bosses and stuff, and the people, you know, these rich guys, you know, they were like, I don't know what they were. They, you know, executives of the construction
site. Yeah, so they thought
you
were either on drugs or drunk.
No, absolutely not, because they sit there and said, well, you know, we know about all this. We told you to bring a gun with you. We know that there's things out here that can't be explained. And I said, what are you going to do one day you show up here and find a bloody carcass up on the deck or something from where one of these Sasquatches or something got a hold of somebody and just beat them to an obliteration? And they thought it wasn't nothing uncommon. I said, well, I'm not coming back out here because I feel like I'm in danger. And I talked to the guy, Marco Bill, about going back out there, right? And I tell you, I'll go back out there. But I'm not going to go back out there when there's slop-jaw people. If I don't feel like I'm protected, you can't pay me enough money to go out there because I'm not going to risk. Let me tell you, a lot of people think these things are a joke. Okay, you think of a silverback gorilla, 10 foot tall, 600 pounds, what that could do to somebody. Or you know what I mean? And that's exactly what a Bigfoot is. I mean, you know, I'm just speculating, but I'm just saying what I believe it is or a close relative to, or it looks like, a big silverback gorilla.
Well, yeah, we can classify it as an unknown primate. Let's leave
right.
it. We'll have you back next week. You're an interesting guy. I got to get some more guests in here, and I only got 7 minutes to do it. God bless you.
Okay.
Just mute yourself.
God bless you, sir.
And we'll talk about it next week.
Okay?
Okay. Thanks so much.
Yes,
David.
Sir. And I will be able to take you there, and I will show you Bigfoots. If you seriously want to see Bigfoots and you want to go find them, I'm your man.
Okay. Well, and thank you for that, because you probably hit the most serious guy in this industry, and you're talking to him tonight. Thank you so
right.
much.
Right. Well, God bless you, sir, and there ain't no joke about this,
thank
okay?
Thank you so much. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was David of Ohio. He experienced what he experienced out there in the Everglades in Florida. I just may take him up on this invitation. Without any further ado, let's get out to Four Corners, New Mexico, talk to my boy, because he's got a ton of things going on out there, and he's not only doing our show, he's doing another show, or he may have already done that already tonight. Dave, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Tom.
How do you spread yourself so thin, son?
I get on Facebook, and all of a sudden somebody says, hey, be on our show, please. I said, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's just amazing. I got an email here tonight that came in and says, hey, Tom, do you know that Dave's on another show tonight, too? And then they showed me all the people who were on there, and they said Java Bob might be on or something like that, which I doubt, but nevertheless. Were you already doing their show, or did you do it already?
No, I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
It's on it.
All right. Tell me what's going on, son.
Well, the other week, you know, I took some pictures and sent them over to Marco Bill.
Okay.
We were having some activity, very recent activity, in a riverine park. And it all started with a friend of mine that had been walking down, just taking a walk. He lives right there, practically.
Mm-hmm.
And taking a walk in the trails, and he decided to go on a little island that we were always suspected that a Bigfoot could, you know, could be on there. This was very close to the area where we had examined several years ago with your team. And sure enough, he started getting rocks thrown at him. The stink came up. He said he could smell. He was telling me this on the cell phone, and it was like about 1 p.m. And he also had let's see, what else did he say? Oh, fake owl sounds. He told me that there was, you know, just noises, communication going on. And he said, Dave, can you hear it? I said, I can't hear it, man. I can't hear it through your cell phone. But so we did an investigation. He got back to his house safely. And he showed me some other areas, too, in the same park. And it's within this plant life called Russian olive. And it's got lots of thorns in it. And you can't just walk through this stuff. It's dangerous, actually. You could get horribly hurt. But there were trails made in this Russian olive. And he showed me a bedding area that it looks very much like what, you know, something that like a Bigfoot would do.
Did you get pictures?
Yes, I did.
Marco, do you have them?
No.
Okay. So who'd you send them to, David?
Oh, I thought I sent them to Marco Bill.
I'll have to take a look again, Dave.
Okay, they might be in your email. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I,
you know, I'd appreciate it when you send stuff to him if you copy me, would you?
Okay, sure will.
I
yeah, in fact, I'll just send them right to you.
Yeah, that's just blown my mind. So it's the same area. Is that off the San Joaquin?
Yeah, San Juan.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
it was
I know
just
the area well. That's fantastic.
Across.
Listen, mute yourself out. We got Dave from
okay.
New York. Richard
right.
from New York, and I want to talk to him real briefly while I still got you here. Richard, you out there?
I'm right here.
How are you?
I'm fine, sir.
Well, guess what? Remember you wished me coming to New York?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be there Sunday.
This Sunday?
This Sunday, son.
Well, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm having a meeting on Sunday, but I may stay. I don't know how long they're going to want me to stay, but how far are you from Manhattan?
Oh, I'm 2.5 hours.
Okay, so you're close.
I'm close.
So here's the deal. If I make it up there by you, can you bring me to the best areas you ever had?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, you may have a chance.
I was there yesterday, and I took a wrong turn and ended up at a part I never ended up. And, Tom, I have to tell you, I've never seen another mammal in this place, and I heard all kinds of movement in this other area that's not really a trail, but it's been cut.
Is that the picture I'm looking at that Marco Bill put up on the website?
I'm not sure which. I'm not sure which one it is.
To drill into it?
Well, that's the one, Richard, that's the one with, you said it was wearing something.
Is that the white one where it's like...
Yes, yeah, the white one.
Yeah. What? Yes, it's right in that area, Tom.
Yeah, all right, I'm looking here, Bill. I see a red arrow pointing at a tree. Is that what you're looking at, Bill?
It's almost Tom, you know what I found? They can look almost translucent if you look at them. And not like they're spiritual or anything. It's just that the way the light reflects off of them.
Yeah. Can we go into overtime, Bill?
We are. We have until quarter after or however long we need.
Okay. I didn't know it. I'm sorry. I here I am rushing, and I'm trying to figure this picture out. Listen, Richard, I'm looking at picture one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that in front of you?
No, I don't. I don't have my computer on. It's in another room.
Okay. Bill, do you have yours on?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
If you
see that red arrow pointing to the left? Now, is this the cut that you were talking about in the forest?
No, that's next to the cut. This cut I've never been on before, but it's within maybe 200 yards if you go
across the
field.
Okay, so tell me what you experienced.
Yesterday? It was kind of spooky. It kind of spooked me up again. I took a walk there yesterday to try to gauge heights and stuff, and I eventually ended up on the trail I normally go on, but I made a wrong turn, and this was more wild than any place I've ever been in there, Tom.
Why do you say it was wild, Richard?
Because the other trails are very manicured. It's a preserve.
Okay, are you telling me the most of the time that you have experiences are on a road versus...
No, they're on marked trails. There are trail markers. They're marked groomed trails.
Okay. All right.
But nobody ever goes off of trail in this preserve. Nobody ever goes off... You can't. They tell you not to, but you can't because it's not trees. It's heavy, heavy packed bushes. It's called the Pine Bush Preserve.
Okay.
It's a very unique topographic.
Did you see anything?
Have I seen anything? Yeah. I had a sighting, and just like your first guest saw, my one and only sighting the first time I ever called you, it went across about 30 yards in front of me on all fours. I heard it before I saw it, and it was so fast all I saw was looked like the Flash, you know, in the comic book. It was a grayish black, and it went across the trail, and I barely caught a glimpse of it. I heard it before I saw it.
Okay, now this was your first encounter, right?
Yes, and
okay,
I did.
What
see...
happened yesterday?
Well, I saw a couple footprints about 18 inches that I took pictures of. I didn't send them yet.
Have the bear come out of hibernation yet?
I don't know, but there's absolutely no leaves on the bushes. There's no place for them to hide. And I really looked yesterday, but I don't know if they're really there yet, Tom.
Okay, so what's the weather like there?
It was 60 degrees yesterday.
And what's it get you down at nighttime?
The reason I don't go at night, I don't have any night vision. I don't have any thermal. You can't build a fire there because it's a preserve.
Do you have a flashlight?
I have a flashlight, but I'd be going by myself, and I'm not going to do it. If
well,
I had somebody go with me, I would.
Go with me.
Oh, absolutely, but I'm not going alone.
Okay, you got it. Now, that's if I can make time to get there. Now, are you allowed to go out in this preserve at night?
I don't see any signs to say you can't.
Yeah, but you just told me that there was something that you said you couldn't go into the interior, into the brush. You had to stay on the road. Or trail.
They have signs. You can't, Tom, you just about physically can't. You just about physically, it's a physical thing more than anything.
Listen, Richard, let me explain something to you. It's very apparent you're not a man of the woods anyway, or you don't go hunting a lot. I don't know.
No, I don't.
Do you hunt at all?
No, never, ever.
Okay. You know, there's deer trails, there's game trails, and those are big animals. And when they go through these brush, you'll see the trails, especially you'll see them cross the trails and roads. So when they...
Tom,
let me try to explain. I'm going to educate you for nothing, okay? It's free information here. and listen to me closely. When you go and follow a game trail, i.e., whether it's a wild pig, a boar, a bear, I don't know what other large indigenous animals you have up in that area. What else you got? You got any elk?
Moose, coyote, bear. They don't get bear there. Big deer. They have a lot of deer in there.
Okay. Is it mule or
it's whitetail.
Whitetail. Whitetail. Okay. All right. So you're talking about some large things that move through. You got any cats up in that area?
No.
Okay.
No. Not.
I'll guarantee you that I can go walk those trails with you and show you that there's game trails that have come across those trails. I'll guarantee you. Okay.
Now that you say that, Tom, yesterday when I went over my original trail, I did remark that when I was there last year, there did seem to be, I made a remark that I didn't think they were there yet because I didn't see what you said in the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like a bulldozer would go through in some places.
Okay. And that could be a bulldozer into your interpretation, but could probably just be a game trail of something or one of these creatures.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm glad that you, at least you're open-minded to understand new ways and new thinking here. And that's great. And I'll tell you what, if I can take from my schedule to come up there and to bring you out and show you, I'll do it. Believe me. Okay?
Tom, I'm always open for advice and criticism.
Yeah, well, and that's great, you know. But, you know, Bigfoot hunting or Bigfoot researching, number one, it's been a long time since I've got the patience to do something like this, but I've known you now for a couple of years anyway, and I think it's about time maybe I educate you a little bit. So,
hey, Tom?
What?
Next Wednesday's my birthday when your big news is coming out.
You're kidding. On the 17th?
4/17/47.
Keep your fingers crossed because that's the reason why I'm coming to New York. I'm not going to say any more than that. Don't bait me. All I'm trying to say is if thing goes the way we think it's going to go.
David?
Next Wednesday we're going to make that announcement. Anyhow, without any further ado, let's do a little bit of roundtable here with all of our guests. Why don't we get everybody, unmute them all, Bill.
Okay, and Tom, just for your info, we got David from Ohio. We've got Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. We've got Richard. We've got Swede. And we have Rocky.
Hey,
and Steve, the gentle giant.
How are you, buddy?
Doing fine, Tom. How are you?
Well, it's good to hear your voice, first of all, number one. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob, Mr. Swede, to his friends out there in Arkansas. He's probably one of the best friends that my brother, Rocky, has ever had in his life, and has got his back. And it was an honor to meet this fella. Those of you who don't know the story about the Swede, he and Rocky both went out there in Arkansas looking for this creature. Without any further ado, if you could do this for me, Swede, tell the story about when you fired off a round, you thought you hit that thing.
Well, that was one of those stories. There was a lot more to it than that, Tom, but if you want to jump right to the chase, it was a kind of a little covert thing after this creature had stole our, the night before had stole our nectarines in our cuties, which, you know, that's not a good thing with Thunder Vomit to get his cuties stolen.
That's right. Rocky don't like that.
You don't like that. That's like going after a bear with a switch, you know. It's going to be a bad outcome.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was one of those things. It was a big, big black figure in the moonlight, and we had set up on it and waited and had an opportunity to, and what? The opportunity was snatched away by a small hickory nut tree, which that's another story. But anyway, it was something to see something that big stand so still for so long. I've spent a lot of time in the dark in the woods, and it starts to play tricks on you after about 15 minutes. Somebody says 15 minutes of watching something set still is a long time in the dark, and it did. But when it decided it was going to get out of there, it was definitely getting out of there. It's a traumatic event, but it. We'll talk about it again, I'm sure.
Okay, but when it did decide to not be stealth and decided not to be still and it moved, what did you do?
I fired on him with my little Hiroshima, and a tree caught it before it got to him.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll never forget that night. We were on the phone with them while they were out in pursuit of this thing. As a matter of fact, they went out for hours after that. And, you know, I got to tell you one thing, sweet, and I admire your determination. Not many people in the darkness of night would do what you did. But not many people know the Swede and Rocky. And that's one of the reasons why I'm bringing that out, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we heard from David. You know, he was a dredger out there in the Everglades. And when you're by yourself, let me tell you something. And the closest thing around to you is miles away. And you're working all night long. He was working third shift dredging. And he seen one of these creatures, and he fired upon it three times, I think, is what he said. And, Rocky, are you...
Well, I shot over his head three times. I didn't want to shoot it, you know what I mean? I just shot over his head trying to get it to go a different way.
Yeah, you bet. But, you know, we were just down there in Florida, Rocky and me and Bill and... I forget who else, but nevertheless, if I would have known this story, my God, I would have had you down there quicker than hell with us because...
Well, you want me to tell you something? I watched a Bigfoot show here about 3 months ago where the Bigfoot people on the History Channel, Matt Moneymaker and all them...
Oh, wait a minute.
They were at the Seminole truck stop.
Wait a minute. Tom.
Yes, sir.
First of all, it's not the History Channel. It's the Animal Planet Channel. I don't want to undignify the History
Channel. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sitting there. I got the History Channel on. I messed up. You're right. You're absolutely right. Channel 51, Animal Planet.
Okay. All right. Because I don't want to undignify
I'm sorry, sir. My
channel
bad.
With that show. Now, go ahead. Tell me what you're going to say.
No, but it was, I seen them where they were at the Seminole Indian Reservation, and actually where I worked at, or the road that I turned off of, US 27, was only like a mile and a half away from the Seminole truck stop, which is right on US 27. That's where I would use my marker at to start from to backtrace, you know what I mean, to find my... You know, my workplace, you know what I'm saying? But
now, did you remember earlier tonight what you said to me? You said to me, well, if you're serious and you got the right person to come out there with us, and, you know, because you want to make sure your life is not in danger. Well, let me tell you a story. This one guy that's on there now, Swede, and his partner,
right.
Who's like my brother, Rocky, he's a member of our team, okay? You can take book on it, okay? You can take book on it, what I'm going to tell you right now. You can bring yourself your teddy bear and your sleepy pillow and think you're out there and not to worry because your back is covered. When I tell you, if I'm there, the Swede's there, and Rocky's there, you have nothing to worry about. You can sit up in the cab. You can sit up there with your pillow. You have a teddy bear. Do whatever you want. And not to worry. And I don't care if there's 15 of them, as you said there were.
Well, there's a bunch of them.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure it was all a mess of them, to be honest with you.
I got one brother that you think he was Fort Knox, and he's got an armory behind him. He's the Pentagon for sure. And I'll guarantee you they'd have to be an awful lot for him to exhaust all the rounds that he's got. Rocky, you there?
I'm here.
What do you think of this?
I think the mistake that he made was he shot over its head instead of through its head.
Instead, he never killed anything.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've never killed anything. I mean, I'm old redneck, you know what I mean, raised on a farm, but I don't believe in killing nothing unless I got to eat it. And I do most of my shopping from Kroger's, you know what I mean? But I just didn't want to, you know, I wasn't, there was that one little teeny percentage thinking in my brain that it's a man.
Yeah, but
then
what?
The rest of me was saying, well, that ain't no man, because there ain't no man can get that big. There ain't
right.
no man can walk through a swamp
that's right.
in 2 feet of water. You know what I'm saying? There's no way. I mean,
yeah. Think about
it. I mean, I should have shot it, you know, maybe. And I'd be sitting here now probably a billionaire because of the fame and fortune that it would bring me. And I'm hoping that it would bring me financial gain if I take you guys out there to show up. But that's not my reason behind calling the show, is because I want people to know that, you know, there's a lot more out there than what they suspect, you know what I mean? And if all this time, you know, we're such high technology world and stuff that we live in, then why is it a species such as this can be right there beside us and you don't even know it's standing there? Because it's like stealth, you know?
I'm all about not killing stuff unless you're going to eat it. And everybody wants proof that this thing exists. Okay, all this high-tech equipment don't do nothing like a 300-grain hollow point well.
Right.
And you kill one, you won't have to kill any of the others because you've got your proof.
Swede, do you think that a... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you think that a normal hunting rifle can bring them down?
This question's for the Swede.
Oh, I would say that... I would say, yeah. I mean, you know, you have to consider elephants and rhinoceros and everything else. I would think that, you know, that... That it would be absolutely possible.
Well, see, the thing of it was okay, you got to put yourself in my element. I'm out there in the Florida Everglades. It's really dark at night. I've only got one source of light, and it's only like half the area where I'm at. Now, I'm working with a single-shot 12-gauge shotgun. So I got to have about 5 seconds to reload that gun. Now, if I shoot it, a 600-pound, 800-pound animal that's coming at me, such as a Bigfoot or something, and there's not just one. I'm talking about it's communicating with other ones that are a little bit farther distances away, and there may be some standing right behind me right there in the dark that I can't see. You know what I'm saying? And me using a single-shot shotgun, okay, what if I shoot him and I shoot and kill him and the rest of them know it? You don't think that they're not going to attack me?
Well,
and what if I shoot him and I don't hit him and it's not a critical hit, then I'm screwed trying to reload my gun while he's coming after me to shove it up my butt. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's
be honest with you. And if anybody has ever seriously out there, ever seriously seen a Sasquatch, a Bigfoot, whatever you want to call it, okay, if you've ever seen it, you know where my focus is on wanting to be safe or going out there in the middle of the woods, out there in the Florida Everglades, or wherever you go looking for them, that, you know, people don't realize what danger they're putting themselves in with this immense creature. I mean, it's like nothing you could ever explain.
You know what? I'm going to tell you a story right now, and listen to me very closely. The man that was talking to you right there knows that situation better than anybody because he was bear-hugged by one. And he I'm serious as a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
You listen to me. Rocky was bear-hugged by one of those things, and he used his K-bar after shooting it 3 times, okay? He shot it 2 or 3 times, I don't remember, and then used his K-bar to get this thing from bear-hugging and killing and taking his last breath of his body before he flung him and knocked him down on the ground. And that's a true story.
And it didn't even stop the thing after getting shot a couple times.
Well, that's for you to see in the movie and when he wants to tell you about the rest of it. But I'm telling you, you're talking to a man that, did you say he saw one? You bet he saw one. Did he see one up close and personal? Well, this thing bear hugged the hell out of him, okay?
Right.
Took every bit of breath out of him.
Well, this experience had happened to me from the time I seen that thing underneath the tree to the time I got in my stepdad's car and drove off and, you know, got out of there. It was probably anywhere from 35, 45 minutes. This wasn't something that just happened a couple minutes. It took some time. This thing started off probably about 200 feet, 250 feet away from me. You know what I'm saying? And then coming up that sawgrass field, it didn't happen fast. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's something, I mean, I go out there, I know without any doubt in my mind, 100% of everything, I know I could go back there and lead you professionals to proof of Sasquatches. I mean, I know they have to still be there.
Okay, well, you know what? We just may take you up on that offer. Is there anybody else out there that has any questions for Swede, Rocky, Richard, David, Scott? Anybody got any questions? That's what a round table's all about, folks. So I guess...
Well, one question, Tom. When Rocky got the bear hug put on him, how'd the confrontation happen?
Well, why don't we give him a brief dissertation on what happened, Rocky. Why don't you tell him?
Okay. There was four of us out in the woods, my dad, my brother, my friend, and me. We just got done eating. I went out to the woods to go to the bathroom. I shined my flashlight over in the woods. And here was a creature standing there. It came at me. I fired three shots out of a .454 Casull. And it slammed into me. I dropped my gun. I grabbed my knife. That was all I could do because it had me right under the arm squeezing me. And I went to sticking with my knife. It threw me down and, well... Tom got the hair samples.
This is a giant.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Steve.
Swede?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've never told Tom this, but I told him years back. I used to live up in Trinity County, another one of his stomping grounds. About 1977 or 78, I used to live up in Trinity County on the west. I think it was the West Trinity Fork of the river. Used to be a market there. It was called, I forget the name of the market now. But, anyhow, it was across the river from, it was called Howell's Market is what it was called. And I was across the river one night, and I had a .58 caliber cap and ball. And I heard something across the river on 299 making a roaring noise. And, you know, as a kid myself, I thought it was some idiot on top of across the road. So I yelled out and I said, "Roar to you too." And you know how we are as kids. The thing turned around and asked where I was at, broken English. And the first thing I did is I took a shot at it. And all it did was run down the road. And I dropped the gun and I ran the other way.
Well, you know, that kind of comes up where, you know, with the cap and ball, at least you knew your limitations. That's what I would have thrown it down before I got started.
Yeah, well, I had double grains loaded in that rifle. It's no wonder the stock didn't break.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
So how many times you have to wipe after that one?
I don't know, but I know that area well. I even know the one where, I think the natives up there, they call it House of the Big People. And the reason they call it House of the Big People is there's nothing but Bigfoot up in that country.
Absolutely.
Well, I got to tell you guys, this has been an interesting night. I've learned a lot, and I've been doing this a long time, and that it never ceases to amaze me, ladies and gentlemen, that no matter how old you are, as long as you're on this side of the ground, not underneath, and you can still learn something every day, you're one hell of a man. I want to thank Swede. I want to thank the General Giant. I want to thank Rocky. I want to thank David, Scott, Richard, and most of all, I want to thank my cohort in crime, Marco Bill. He's too proud to tell you people, and those of you who've seen his email with family and friends, and I'm going to let the world know
His dad passed away this week.
God bless him.
And our condolences go out to Marco Bill, my co-producer, and his family. It comes from a large family. And anything we can do, Bill, as I've told you in the past, we're there for you, brother. We love you.
Thank you, everybody. I've gotten a lot of emails and a lot of Facebook comments back, and I appreciate it all. Appreciate everybody.
Okay. Well, remember, mark your calendars, the 17th, which is a week from today. Hopefully I'll have a great message to tell everybody, an announcement, and it'll be for the better for everybody in the Bigfoot world. Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. I hope you're feeling better. I love you, darling. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.